Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheel. This week's show is a very special show recorded from the Sepang International Circuit because it has been 3 days of MotoGP testing, the first pre-season test of the year. Joining me, as ever, is Motorsport.com's global MotoGP editor, Oriol Puigdemont. Oriol, how are you after these 3 days?
Well, I'm good, but tired at the same time, so yeah.
Yeah, it's been an exceptionally punishing week, but an interesting weekend. We'll dive straight in because there is quite a lot to talk about. And we'll start with Yamaha. We got to see more of their 2020 bike. Fabio Quartararo, the Petronas SRT rider, had the 2020 bike for the first time this test, and he went fastest on it. So Yamaha, off to a good start, so the timesheets tell us.
The overview, the general conclusion of this test, I think leaves us few question marks still, because of course Mark is not fully fit still, with a lot of pain and lack of energy due to the surgery on his right shoulder at the beginning of last December. So, and we have another question marks, like, for example, the influence of the new rear Michelin tire, because I think that in a way can make the things a bit difficult to understand still, because some teams are still working on trying to understand the behavior and the behavior of the tire. So I think we're gonna see a few changes still from now to Qatar.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the tyre, the 2020 tyre, which has been tested a couple of times last year. General consensus among most of the teams is that it's going to suit Yamaha and Suzuki riders. It seems to offer a bit more edge grip, which of course is something that the Yamaha and Suzukis can take a lot of profit from. It's an interesting sort of thing because it's also the tyre, a lot of the riders have been saying it's quite... It's a strange one, like it grips, spins, grips, spins, grips, spins sort of thing, and it's catching a few of them out. It seems to push the front a bit more. So it seems that it'll take a bit of time, obviously, to get it right, the setup, but it seems that Yamaha and Suzuki have been offered a little bit of an advantage already because of just the natural way of the bike.
Yeah, I spoke with Piero Taramasso today, and he says that the common sense says so. I mean, that Yamaha and Suzuki, as you say, because of the nature of the bike, can take a bit more profit of these tires. But he says, listen, the tire, this new rear, it is better for everybody. Mm-hmm. Not only for Yamaha. I mean, has more grip on maximum inclinations on the edge, but for everybody. Which means that even the bikes struggling more, I mean, that they don't use that extra grip, will take profit of this new tire. So, in a way, yes, Yamaha and Suzuki probably will take a bit more profit than the others. Mm-hmm. But in general, what Michelin says is that all the manufacturers will be faster with this new tire. And we have seen it already on the timesheet.
Yeah, I mean, the timesheets are really, really close. I mean, we've got the combined one here in front of us, but, you know, the top 19, you know, that's Fabio Quartararo all the way down to Brad Binder, is not even covered by a second. You know, it's not even 8/10. It's a ridiculous margin. I can't remember who said earlier on Sunday that is a little bit of a fake reading. One of the writers said that, I can't remember who, which is true. I mean, we've had 3 days of Michelin rubber on the circuit, so obviously the track conditions are going to be really good. Continuing with the tyre talk, although it does seem that this tyre will overall benefit everyone, Cal Crutchlow, an LCR Honda rider, was a little bit more pessimistic about it because he's saying that now that this tyre can't really spin it as much, which used to be the Honda way to get the the rear of the bike turned, and he's having a lot more problems with turning the bike than he did last year. And he's reiterated that across the 3 days. It sounds like Honda haven't quite gone on top of the issues of last year.
Yeah, but I mean, even Mark has said that Honda needs to keep working, because to him it looks like the other manufacturers, especially Suzuki and Yamaha, have made a step forward. So he urges Honda to keep working and to put another gear to step up to try to do even more, because otherwise, he says, listen, the competition is getting harder and harder. And yeah, he's not 100%, but he can see many different things. And most of the riders agree that Viñales and Rins are the fastest guys here. Despite Fabio has led the timesheet the 3 days, they say that. And if you keep an eye on the race pace, the best race pace of all the grid is from Maverick, comes from Maverick, and especially from Alex Rins.
Yeah, the pace of Rins has been really quite exceptional. I mean, Suzuki, of course, they've got the new bikes here. A little bit less for them to test this week, especially compared to Honda. You know, Cal's had three bikes and they've all been of different specification, especially chassis specification. Mark hasn't been able to do so much testing. He's been limited in the amount of laps he can do. Alex Marquez is, of course, a rookie. Viñales is the interesting one, because just looking at his race pace here, I mean, he's one of the few to do a full race simulation on the Sunday, and his pace has been really, really, really good, you know, mid to low 159s. The thing that Yamaha need to get right, though, of course, is the starts, and they have brought a whole shot device to fix that. So now it looks like Yamaha are finally heading in that direction where they know they've got the pace to win. Now they're putting it all together, and it seems like Maverick with this new bike is really, really, he's taken to it like we expect. Like, almost like in 2017 when he first jumped on the Yamaha, it's that sort of kind of, how do I say, that sort of air about him, that air of confidence about him with this bike.
Yeah, but I think Yamaha is still looking for a bit more top speed. Yeah. So Valentino today said that let's see if with this new engine he can keep the slipstream, which is still not clear. So they made a step in compared with last year's engine, but I think now they are like 7 kph slower than the competition. So yeah, I think we're gonna see. To be honest, I see Maverick really strong, really focused, maybe even more focused than we've seen him before. Yeah. But again, I have the feeling that once we hit Qatar, everything will be put in place.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will see another story.
Yeah.
The
speed trap thing's interesting, because Cal Crutchlow was talking about this on Saturday, that where the speed trap line is actually sort of in the braking zone for turn one. So there's a little bit of a trick there, that if you brake a bit later, you're going to go faster, which is why Jack Miller on the Ducati posted like a 3.38. Yeah. Ducati is still clearly the benchmark engine. But it was an interesting sort of test for Ducati, because he didn't really... Miller was quick, but Miller's always quick. And he had bits and bobs to try, but they didn't have didn't look like they had lots and lots, you know, of items to test.
I was there talking with him, and he was completely upset. He was, apparently he was really worried, despite he was trying to hide it. We were there, and you can feel that he was not happy at all about the performance, his performance, and especially the performance of the bike, and the understanding of those new rear tires.
I was just going to go on to that point there, that Ducati's kind of a low-key showing. Dovizioso as well. He seemed kind of optimistic, but the thing that stood out for me was he said that the feeling with the bike's not there, we're quick, but I've not got the feeling, which was kind of an issue sort of towards the, at times last year, this they didn't have the feeling on the bike, and it kind of, yeah, when you...
And again, it's not easy to see Dovizioso crashing.
And he did that. He did that yesterday. It was a small crash, but he hurt himself. He hurt his neck.
Yeah, I think they are a bit in trouble. They are a bit worried. Okay, they say that we cannot be worried at that stage. But, well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
I mean, if they are behind the others, there's a reason to be worried about. So
they've only got 3 days more of testing before the first race, so there isn't time, really.
Yeah, in Qatar they've always been really, really fast, so they will probably make a step forward. But for sure they are not as comfortable as they were last year. So, yeah, I think now, which this year is a crucial year for Ducati, because they still have to rebuild the team and try to, I don't know how to say, the reinforce the project, the MotoGP project for the future. And they need to be strong, because Suzuki is very strong at the moment, both riders, especially Rins, but Mir has done a really good test here as well. So and of course Yamaha, with bringing Jorge here, with Quartararo in Petronas, Maverick being really, really fast and focused. So I think Ducati can be in a tricky position.
Yeah, certainly. Just going back to Yamaha quickly, Quartararo, he didn't sound as happy with the new bike as I was expecting. He said there's a lot of things to sort of sort out, which only naturally, he's only had 2 days on it, but even then he's kind of, doesn't sound quite as optimistic as he has been.
I think Yamaha was not ready for this test. It's not that Yamaha was not ready. They have signed many important things in the last weeks. Fabio, if I'm right, didn't test the 2020 bike until yesterday, until Saturday.
Yeah, that's correct.
Which means that Yamaha didn't have enough bikes for testing. Yeah. So even Jorge didn't try at all the new bike. Not in the shakedown, not Sunday. So that's why, I think that they were a bit they were a bit like not ready for they were still missing, I don't know, some time, or I don't know, they signed Quartararo last week or 2 weeks ago. So, and until then, it was not clear what bike he was going to jump in 2020. Now, okay, we know that he's going to jump in a 2020 bike, but the bike is not built, not ready. So that's why I think that Yamaha was a bit on the limit getting into this test.
If you look at what's happened with Franco Morbidelli, he was supposed to be on factory machinery, but he's been, I wouldn't say downgraded, but he's been given the A-spec Yamaha, which is basically the November Yamaha with some upgraded parts. So that does sort of kind of corroborate with what you're saying, is that they haven't had the resources, and they've got to obviously prioritize Maverick, Rossi and Fabio.
I think it's just a matter of money. I mean, it's business. Do you really believe that a company like Yamaha is not able to build 10 engines or 10 chassis trying to play this game? Okay, but don't forget that until they made the proposal to Quartararo and or Fabio put pressure on Yamaha in order to be a factory rider in 2021, Fabio and Franco were supposed to ride not a factory bike in 2020.
Petronas put the money down for the bike?
Yes. They were not going to ride the same bike than Valentino and Maverick.
So it would have essentially been A-spec bikes for the both of them?
The problem is that the A-spec, B-spec is just a name that they put to try to confuse people.
Yeah.
Let me try to explain. let's think that Quartararo didn't sign the contract, okay? And he's still a Petronas rider and next year, and okay. So the contract between Petronas and Yamaha was saying that they both have a spec bike, but it doesn't mean factory bike. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you can ride a factory bike or you can ride an A spec bike, and they are different bikes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can explain.
Yeah, I get what you mean. You know, A spec, B spec, YYZ spec, it's all meaningless, really.
Exactly. This is just for the clients.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say Valentino and Maverick don't ride an A spec or B spec because they are factory. So they have factory bikes. The E-spec or B-spec is just for the clients. But before, in the past, E-spec was meaning factory.
Yeah.
Now, E-spec doesn't mean factory because let's say that Morbidelli will ride a spec bike, but the bike will be completely different. The engine and the chassis will be completely different than Valentino's, Maverick and Fabio.
We're going to go for a quick break, but do come back because we've got KTM Aprilia and a bit more of Honda to talk about. Right, welcome back to this week's Sepang test wrap-up of the Tank Slappers podcast. And I just wanted to quickly go back to Honda because Marquez injured. He had a couple of crashes. One at turn three at Sepang on Saturday, which is a fast place to go down. He said it was quite a slow crash, but there's a video on MotoGP.com that sort of suggests it wasn't as slow as he maybe made it out to be. And then he crashed again on Sunday at the final corner. He's not riding at full physical fitness. The bike's not brilliant. His one lap pace has been okay, but it kind of seems like there's a lot going against Mark right now, and maybe the confidence isn't so much there.
Yeah, I think that he has to go through this stage of his like recovery.
Yeah.
So he's not feeling good now. It's a critical moment, but he will go over it, and then in Qatar will be much more fit. And the shoulder will be in a much better shape. So
back to full Markness, basically.
Yes, a bit more closer.
Yeah.
A bit closer to the Mark we all expect. But yeah, I spoke with him yesterday. He was going out of the clinica after putting a lot of ice on the shoulder. He told me, I'm putting ice all the time, trying to reduce the swelling and but it's a stage that I need to go through. So I have to pass this thing. We've been 3 days here putting a lot of energy and asking a lot from the shoulder. So let's see how the shoulder reacts in the next coming days, and then start to recovery, start to exercise again, and in Qatar I think we're gonna see a completely different kind of Mark.
Still no hole shot device on the Honda yet that we've seen anyway. We've seen one for Yamaha, obviously Ducati's got theirs. Rumors that Suzuki will have one in Qatar. I don't know if they had one here, did they?
I think they're working on it, but they still the device supposed to be ready here, but it wasn't. So I think Honda in that way is always a bit more conservative.
Yeah.
They have been on the aero side. They finally had to give up and try to and put a lot of wings, but they are a bit more conservative on that thing, especially because they can be conservative if you have Mark and the bike, the winner bike.
Yeah.
So you can be more conservative. But to be honest, I think at some point if all the others have this kind of device and it works, they will have to at least explore way.
Yeah.
It's interesting because if everyone has that device and everyone starts the same, then it's not really going to be an advantage anymore. Yeah. So all that millions sort of wasted. But we'll move on quickly, just touching on Alex Marquez, we're not going into too much detail, top rookie. Alberto Puig said actually today that he went better than expected. So Alex, you looked all right. Aprilia, perhaps my most favourite bike of the whole test. It's radically different, this revolution RSGP, crazy F1 style aero, new engine, V4, 90 degrees. And Aleix, he put in a 12-lap stint. He had to cut the race run short because it was an exhaust problem, but it was a really good stint. It was like mid to low 159s. I mean, Aprilia now look finally decent project.
To me, Aprilia is one of the biggest surprises of this test, fortunately. And the only question mark is the reliability of the bike, because they have had a lot of problems in terms, which is normal at this stage. But yeah, they look very happy. But to be honest, I would love to see the Aprilia completing the race distance in Qatar, which is not going to be easy because, as I say, the bike is completely new.
Yeah.
It's a new project from zero.
And KTM, Honda and Yamaha have had their 2020 bike prototype since last summer.
So they've been working... Yamaha, Honda, KTM. KTM is a never-ending evolution. But they've been with the bike pretty much earlier than Aprilia. So that's what I mean. I mean, they will need time to try to put everything together and to work on the reliability of some of the elements.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Aleix said he wasn't allowed to do a full race simulation because the engine was so new the team didn't want him to. I spoke to Massimo Ravolo, CEO of Aprilia, during the weekend. I'm going to do a feature about Aprilia. They've done a lot, they made a lot of changes, a lot of signings, a lot of guys come from F1, a couple of ex-Ferrari guys, ex-McLaren as well, some guys come from Ducati and Suzuki. KTM, just quickly, the bike we saw already in November with that really cool new sort of chassis, again Paul Espargaro really going strong. It looks like they have made another step forward. What's your sort of take on the whole KTM situation? It looks positive again.
Yeah, I think they have been working really hard. They've made a step forward. And I've been speaking with one of the KTM guys and he said, listen, 2 years ago, we were struggling with doing 1 or 2 minutes and now... we are very fast. We are easy in 159, I mean, lap by lap. And then we have not only one rider, but we have Paul, even Oliveira was very fast, and of course, Dani.
Pedrosa was super quick.
We've seen many different KTM riders being so fast. So yeah, I think we're gonna enjoy this season with the orange bikes. Well, the orange bikes, the blue and orange, the Red Bull bikes, whatever.
Yeah, indeed. And on that note, myself and Yuri have got to get out of here, go get food, get a shower. It's really hot and sweaty and horrible here. Thank you ever so much for listening. We will be back very soon to discuss more things MotoGP. If you like what you heard, you can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts via iTunes and Google Podcasts as well. And of course, check out autosport.com and motorsport.com for all the Sepang test reaction. My thanks to Yuri, my thanks to listeners. Until next time, it is a very warm goodbye.